welcome to a brand new week here. Wow, Dr. Randy Carlson. And as the founder of Intentional Living, I get to come in and host the show and talk to you all about things that matter to you. And in particular today about our little ones, the kiddos, young or maybe the adults as well, your young adults in your life. And one thing that you're doing or one thing your parents did that really made a positive difference. We had such a really powerful show last week on this topic. We wanted to carry over for today. And if you missed it, I hope you'll go back to last week and catch it last Wednesday when you go to theintentionallife.com. Andrew's here helping out, running the board today. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. He's a busy guy. He runs all of our equipment around here. And we were talking before the show. We got a little bug running around through the computers. Just enough to drive Andrew crazy. He's looking for it, though. And it's actually kind of, it's worse than a fly because you can't see it, right? A fly you can see. This bug kind of runs. Or anyway, you know if you have a computer what that's about. But anyway, thank you, Andrew. And for Stephen, our producer here, he's taking your calls. Today they're going to the storyline at 888-888-1717. We're talking about parenting and the power of one thing. There's plenty of research that shows that when we focus on one thing, we're going to be more successful. You know that when you've done homework. If you follow on one thing and you say, I'm going to dedicate the next 30 minutes, you get more done than when you jump from this to that to the other thing. That's true as well in trying to deal with a concern or a problem in your life. And we all have them. I can think of five or six things I'd like to work on in my life, right? And but this one thing maybe for the next 30 days, if I can just make that a habit, that'll help strengthen what I know to be my belief about that. For instance, let me give you an example. If you say you believe that money is a gift from God and I don't want to live in bondage to it, I want to find freedom and generosity and all that, and then in turn your spending habits don't support that belief, what does that do to you? It creates, you know, we talk in counseling about a cognitive dissonance. That's a fancy way of saying we're not on the same page here. And that creates confusion and what I think creates a spiritual dissonance in our life. That's just an example. And that's why intentional living is all about saying, what do we believe? What does the Bible teach? And not about perfect or perfection, but man, you know, if I started to work on this one thing for the next 30 days, I think I'm going to benefit and I know God will get the glory for it. And I can give you plenty of scripture to support this, which we do from time to time on our show. And that's why we do this. And you all who support us, make it possible. Speaking of that, coming up later this week, we begin our kind of a heavier emphasis on our giving. This is our fundraising month. This is September is a huge, big deal. What happens in the next couple of weeks is going to determine the outcome for our ministry moving forward as far as support. And I just want to challenge you, if you've not been involved, would you join us right now? Be on the front end of this. You can call 888-888-1717. Say, count me in for intentional living. Tell them that when you call. 888-888-1717. Press number 2 or go to theintentionallife.com. All right? And we'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, let's find out what Angela's one thing is there in Michigan. Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. What part of Michigan are you all calling from today?
I am in Utica. That is north of Detroit.
Yeah. So you're listening to the newer of our stations in our network at 93.1 out of Detroit, yes. I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yes.
Have you enjoyed the station?
Oh, so much. I listen to it all the time. That's all I listen to.
How has it impacted you? What encouragement has it brought into your life?
Well, you know, just when you need to hear an encouraging word, just to turn on the radio, and the Lord just has the right song playing at the right time to just speak into your heart and just to give you that encouragement, it's so wonderful to have that.
That's terrific. You know, we blend, we work hard, and I know our team, under the leadership of our broadcast department and our president, Evan, and the team, really, we have a commitment to find hope through the music we share and help through the words that we speak. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That's why we balance this and try to blend it. So, All right. Well, you called to tell us your one thing. What is it?
Well, you know, our parents did not teach my husband and I about finances. So we had a lot of difficulties that we had to face. And we didn't want our children to have to go through that. So we decided we were going to teach our children about finances. So when they were about 6 and 8 years old, we came up with chores that they could do, and we had a money amount applied to each chore. And if they wanted to do it, they could. If they didn't want to do it, they didn't have to, but then they didn't get paid. So they would get paid like every 2 weeks, and when we gave them their money, we sat down with them and taught them how to figure out tithes and offerings first, and they would put an envelope and they would give it in the church themselves. And then half of what was left would go into a savings account. The other half they could keep to spend however they wanted. If they wanted to save for something, they could. Now, the half that went into the savings account, when they turned 16, we matched that amount so that they could get their first vehicle. And they knew that they would be responsible for the insurance and the gas. So they knew they had to have a job, and they did. So then we taught them about budgeting, how you budget for gas and your car insurance and anything else that you want to budget for. And to this day, they all do very well at staying on a budget and are, you know, independent with their finances.
That's great. Now, did that work? Did they get the 16 and have adequate? They had quite a bit in there to ready to go for you to match and so on?
Yep, it worked very well. Everything went very well. And then the other thing we did is that when we would serve in the church, like cleaning, we would take them with us and we would give them a little something to do so that they knew what it was like to serve. And so that was the other thing we did.
What would you do if the kids didn't want to? They just said, well, I don't care. The money wasn't important. Some kids, parents are saying, that's great, but my kids just don't care about the money.
Well, and sometimes there would be some weeks where they didn't want to do anything and they didn't. But then the other one would do all the chores and get lots of money, and then they would see that.
Yeah.
And they're saving their money to get an iPod because, you know, an iPod is not a necessity. So if you want an iPod, you better save your money because we're not going to buy you an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would save their money, and they learned about taxes, that when they go to buy something, they also have to figure out taxes into that. So they made sure they saved enough. And so it was just a matter, if you want something, you know you have to save some money. And to save money, you have to work to get the money. So we really didn't have to encourage them much in that area. When it came to something that they wanted, they decided they wanted to do a lot of chores and anything extra.
So the kids are now grown and they're on their own, correct?
Correct.
And do any of them have financial problems?
Not that I'm aware of, no. They all have an emergency fund. They, you know, budget so much for groceries, so much for eating out. We taught them all of that, and they still use it.
Angela, you're a good mom. You've done a great job. This is terrific. And I hope some parents are listening because starting early in training kids in this area, this is one of our, we call the five essential areas of life. There's a payoff, and you guys, you're seeing it now. Plus, they're not coming home asking for money.
Right. That is true. That is true. We're very thankful for that.
Thank you for your call. That's one of the benefits of being intentional with your kids. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
And so DNA has been something that started in the 20th century, early 20th century, as a philosophical concept to really seek out and learn. And then in the 21st century, to really discover what the meaning is of the DNA in our lives. And the definition is, it's the fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities of someone, of you, especially regarded as unchangeable. It's the part of us that's unchangeable in our lives. And when we look at DNA today, we recognize that it's the essence, really, of who we are as a human being in terms of our genetic material and how we were created by God. That's the lesson this month. It's up on our website, available for you because of the support and the prayers of so many wonderful people around the country. It's DNA of our spiritual life. Go to theintentionallife.com. I mentioned that this week, a little bit later, starting on Wednesday, we launch into our kind of our heavy fundraising emphasis to really put the gasoline back in the engine to help us continue to move forward with the radio and with our intentional living ministry. And here's the thing. Some of you have already caught the vision to say, hey, I want to be on the front end of this and get involved so when this really unfolds, I can be praying for you all and for everybody else. And so I want you to know that when you call or you go online and you join us for intentional living with a dollar a day, $30 a month or more, you are helping. You are joining in the cause together to reach people for Christ in a very intentional way. We want people to move from their belief and their faith into daily action for life change, for God's glory. And boy, there's plenty of scripture that supports the process that we teach every day. And you're making it possible. You really are. And so come join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during the West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And just say when you call, hey, I want to be a part of intentional living. Here's my gift. Join us monthly. As you know, that multiplies, doesn't it? $30 every month. Maybe you do it on a one-time basis. Some of you as leaders, leadership gift, you could stretch and maybe share a $1,000 or $5,000, all of it's going to go to help us reach more people. Just a challenge. Let's do this together. 888-888-1717 and press number 2. Karen, in New Mexico, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call. What's your one thing?
It was from my dad. I learned patience from my dad.
How?
Not that I do it. I'm not that I do it well, but I learned patience from my dad. I have a story. When I was in elementary school, I'm up in my 70s now. I was out in the garage, and my friend was with me, and my dad happened to be out next door talking to one of the neighbors. And how I did it, I don't know, but we ended up knocking down off the shelf a brand new bottle of turtle wax in a glass bottle, got all over the floor, and I cleaned it up, and I said, I got to go tell my dad. And the friend was with me. She was, oh, no, don't tell your dad. You'll get in big trouble. And I went, no, I just need to tell my dad I broke this. So she followed me, and we walked out and talked to my waited until I wouldn't interrupt. I waited until there was a break and my dad acknowledged me and I walked over and I told him, I said, Dad, broke the bottle of turtle, that brand new bottle of turtle wax all over the floor. He looked at me and he said, did you clean it up? And I said, yes. He said, oh, okay. And that was the end of it. And that's taught me all my life is that my Heavenly Father kind of does the same thing when I sin and mess up, is if I go to Him, He just is like, okay, don't do it again, but it's okay.
He loves you, doesn't He? That's great. How old were you when that happened, Karen?
Probably in third or fourth grade.
Yeah, we call that an early childhood memory.
It says nine or ten, possibly that age.
Yeah, we kind of call that an earlier childhood memory, and it kind of reflects. I mean, you think about all the millions of things that happened growing up, and that one pops up. It tells you not only about your dad, by the way, which is good, but also tells you something about you. Respect for authority, respect for your dad, respect, take, my guess is Karen is one that will take responsibility for her own actions.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not
I
only
just don't have the patience that my
No, that isn't what it, that what I was saying was that, to me at least, as I was listening to your memory, this is kind of a freebie, but what I was saying was more about you than your dad. Your dad certainly was patient if he did that, but what it really says too is that you are the person, listen, I'm not going to be influenced. If I'm responsible, I'll take responsibility. If somebody with me is saying, hey, you can skirt the deal a little bit, she's not going to do it. If you want to entrust somebody with something that's important to you, ask Karen. Because I bet, Karen, if someone asks you to do something important, you're going to take care of it.
Yeah, I do.
Isn't that true? Hey, can I ask, you said you're in your set. Did you work? Did you have a career? Or were you outside the home or what?
A little bit of both. My husband and I had our own business, and I was his bookkeeper.
Oh.
So in one aspect, yeah, I worked outside the home, but when the kids were sick or had some kind of activity, those were his kids. And so I didn't have to worry about taking the time off or doing that. It was his kids, so he was willing to do it. And I was the only bookkeeper, so nobody else was depending on me except him, you know, to give him the answers. So it worked out well.
Yeah, and I bet your books balanced, and you never, I bet you when you came to pay the taxes, you were going to make sure everything was done correctly and in order.
Gosh, you do know me.
Yeah, I do. Sorry. That's what, by the way, where this is coming from is from my studies and background. We did a lot of work in the years past about what we remember in our childhood memories. I wrote a couple books. My buddy, Dr. Kevin Lehman, and I wrote a national bestseller, Unlocking the Secrets of Your Childhood Memories. I wrote a couple other books, one including Father Memories. I don't talk a lot about them on the air, but what we know is the things that we remember from our childhood, how we remember them often says less about the person that we're remembering than it does about us. That's why you can have siblings and they have different memories of growing up in the same house. And that's because our memories tend to be a reflection of us more than a reflection of what actually happened. Not that it didn't happen, but we pick those memories because they're supportive of how we view life. And Karen is responsible, do it right, and can be trusted. Right? All right. With that, we'll take another quick break. I'll be back. Dr. Randy here. You can join us on our storyline, 888-888-1717. Back to One Things for Parenting in just a minute.
As you know, everyone is born with unique DNA. Did you know that living an intentional life is connected to a different type of DNA?
The essence of intentional living is that we have a life animated by the spiritual DNA of rebirth in Christ.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, DNA, he takes an in-depth look at how living intentionally and having a deep relationship with Jesus will change how you live your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kirk. And I really, really encourage you to do that right now, this moment. Be intentional, right? Give me a call at that number, 888-888-1717. Press number 2 when you get the prompt, and one of our team will take your call and just say, hey, I'd like to join in with Randy and the team on intentional living. Maybe you're already supporting the radio. This will be help for this because we have our own budget, and you make it possible. All right. We appreciate your support as we go into this very important season of fundraising and the need for the ministry. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. Talk about the power of one thing in parenting. Dana is in Michigan. Hi, Dana. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What was it that is your one thing you want to share?
I wanted to share that with my mom. She's my rock and she's my strength. Her whole life, she basically put food and, you know, and everything on the table for us kids. I have two sisters. Yes, she was married, but my dad was really never around. And then she ended up having breast cancer in 1989. And she's a survivor. And ever since then, we've been very close, and she's been my strength. And we talk every single day, and I look back at that, and I look back at that, and I get that strength from her.
Yeah. Are you married and on your own now, or are you single, or what's your...
No, I am married.
Yeah. And so how does your mom encourage you now in your... How is that an encouragement to you in your marriage and your relationship with your husband and your family?
She tells me that I can do it, you know, go forward and, you know, and use my common sense, she says, and, you know, and look back and just do it. And she said, you know, you have it in you that, you know, all the strength from when you're younger, you have it in you.
So what you hear from her, what I hear is a theme of encouragement.
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, we need that, don't we?
We do.
Yeah, we live in such a discouraging world. We really do. I mean, how many people encourage you? Here's a fact. If you think about the people in your life that you're drawn to, if you could say, I could spend a half a day with somebody, who would it be and that I know? My guess is you're not going to pick the person who's critical, and that's not going to be... You're going to pick somebody who you enjoy, and there's positivity and encouragement. And man, that's one role we as parents can have with our adult children and grandparents with our grandkids and our kids. Encouragement. And that builds. Discouragement doesn't, criticism doesn't. And I think we all kind of intuitively know that, but making that a reality is another thing. Okay. Thank you, Dana. Appreciate it. Let me go back to the callers here. We're going to go to Ashley, is down in Florida. Hey, what's your one thing, Ashley?
We eat dinner together every night.
That's good. You know, that used to be sort of the standard for families, and now it's not so much with all the distractions. What difference has that made to you and your family?
It makes an incredible difference because our kids, you know, they go to school. I have five younger children, but we do a devotion every night, and then we ask, what's your favorite thing for the day, your high, and what was the least favorite thing that you didn't like so much during the day? And it just allows them the opportunity to share their hearts and share what's going on in their lives.
Yes, Dr. Randy, my name is Gerald. I'm calling from St. Louis. My intentional thing that I'm trying to do is to get out of my way and my wife's way, because it's not my call. It's got to be the Lord's call.
Hello, Randy. I've been listening to your show a long time. In your discussion about intentional living, how long does it take to do the one right thing? If you're driving a car, sometimes it has to be fast. Other times it has to be steady to make sure you are going to make the right decision when it comes.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I want to tell you how I am being intentional, and not just for today, but I'm trying to make it a life switch. I have a son who is going to be a teenager. I'm being intentional because I'm listening more, and I am answering the questions on his level, and I am trying to be a better parent every single day.
Mm-hmm. Great counsel. That's intentional living. We're going to go Arizona in just a moment. I just want to say this before I get to the final call. Dana, hang on. How much I personally appreciate each of you who pray for and support the ministry. Boy, it means an awful lot to us. God bless you. And your comments are always welcome. All right, Dana, what's your one thing for parenting?
I just want to say my parents, bless their heart, did the best they could, but they did not encourage me to go to school. My mother kept me home for to take care of her, to take care of the house. But I raised my girls that it is important to get an education. It will take you far in life. And I've just seen kids today just want to drop out of school and don't understand the importance of getting a good education. So I would like to encourage some people coming up to encourage your kids to go to school. It's the one job that they have, other than chores, I'm sure. But yeah, their job is to get a good education.
I agree with that. What would you have liked to have done as far as more education for yourself, Dana?
I would like for my mother not to pull me out of school in eighth grade.
Oh.
And not let me just flounder taking. I became a nurse and I did succeed. But it was hard. It was hard not having that back education. And I had to get a GED. And not that that wasn't a good thing, but I just encourage children to learn. The more they learn from school and to get out there and discover what they want to do for a career,
yeah,
I think that's important as parents to instill that in a child.
That's right. But I bet if I were to ask your kids, Dana, they would say, hey, my mom got an eighth grade education. Her mom didn't encourage her to keep on. Yet she came back, got a GED, went on to become a nurse. I bet you they're awful proud of mom and what you overcame, as it were, and what you chose to do, as even though you had the handicap of getting started with an eighth grade education, you did some amazing things. I mean, people listening must be saying, like me, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I did. And I do pat myself, but it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. It's still hard to these days. And as you get older, it's harder to learn. Things don't come as easy as I think they probably could have if I had the opportunity to do it when I was younger.
Yeah. Try learning a foreign language when you get older. It's easier when you're young, right? Sometimes the foreign language is speaking in marriage to your spouse, you know. That's a whole nother topic we'll have to talk about. Yeah, that's it. Love languages. We'll get Gary Chapman back on here to talk about love languages. All right, we're out of time for today. We're going to have a really super special show tomorrow. I hope you'll join us from our studio on the eve of breaking into our fundraising time for the rest of, you know, for a couple weeks. We're really emphasizing the mission, what's going on, testimonies of changed lives, and opportunity to join us. And I hope you'll be up at the front at theintentionallife.com. Got to run. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and it remains a ministry of Intentional Life Media.